What's going on, successors? Welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success in the Morning. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones, and today is April 3rd, Thursday, April 3rd. So it's Thursday Showdown, y'all. So you're in for a great show today, and you know we can't really kick this thing off without welcoming out and bringing out my co-host. Come on out, producer Britt. Come on, come on, come on. All right. Oh, you're muted, producer Britt. Talk to us.
Oh, good morning. How y'all doing? Happy Thursday, April 3rd.
Happy Thursday, April 3rd.
Jonathan, we've got a special guest today.
We got a special guest today, and I'm ready to introduce him, right? Ready to introduce my father. He's Fred Jones, and when you're in pain, phone Fred first. So he's here today on behalf of Fred Jones Law Firm. And the Fred Jones Law Firm is a nationwide law practice headquartered in Winnsboro, Louisiana, led by attorney and counselor at law, Fred Jones Esquire. And they serve individuals and families who are hurting, overwhelmed, or in need of trustful legal guidance. Dad, how we doing today?
On top, going higher. R.C. Blakes.
I like it. So we had to phone Fred first, right? Because, you know, looking at some of these headlines and, you know, just seeing what is abreast in the news. And producer Britt, I'm gonna kick it to you because I know you like to bring what's scrolling and what's hot.
We just want this show to be more informational today. Attorney Jones is here to give us the legal side of what's going on with some of the politics right now. So we're going to kick it off, Mr. Jones, right now with the thousands of laid off as Kennedy and must take aim at health agencies. So can you talk a little bit about this article, about this story, what's going on with the health agencies right now?
Yeah, when you talk about this, first off, I want to say thank you all for having me on today. And I'm excited to be here with you.
Yes.
Speak Your Success show with producer Britt and Jonathan. When you talk about laying people off, man, that strikes fear in people's heart, right? Because a lot of people don't have a whole lot of budget or margin in their budgets. And when you think about no longer having a paycheck or having to take a reduce in your salary, that's going to impact a lot of people tremendously. That's one thing that really comes to mind when you look at people being laid off in this massive way. And from what I've read and seen taking place, a lot of people were caught off guard. They didn't know what to expect. So from a legal perspective, I'm looking at this like from a point of due process. Was the proper processes followed in giving people notice that they'll no longer have their job or no longer be able to go to work every day? So that's one thing that just really kind of stood out for me. Due process, and were people given notice, and were federal laws followed? Did they follow the law in doing this, or was this some reckless, chaotic process that had no real thought put into it? So those are some of the things that kind of jump out immediately as it relates to this particular article.
Yeah, I agree with you because in like the beginning of the article, it talks about he aims to cut 10,000 jobs. So, I mean, that's just, you know, that's just pretty insane right there. Just to cut that many jobs coming in, and that was his focus when he was getting. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Oh no, and I was about to say, and it's not just 10,000 jobs anywhere. We're talking about the FDA, right? So the Food and Drug Administration. So these are people controlling, like, you know, seeing some of the things that we eat and we're consuming. Also the CDC, the Center for the Disease and Control and Prevention. So these are very significant areas that are contributing to, you know, the things we're consuming, and then even like we talk about the CDC and with disease control, these are essential jobs, right? So that's something I also want to just highlight in the article as well. These just aren't any just, you know, run of the mill jobs or, you know, right. things like that.
Exactly. And with the and that leaves them with about 25% reduction since President Trump got into office. And that's leaving them with 62,000 workers. And that's a 25% drop. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that comes to mind when this kind of action is being taken is public trust. Will the public be able to trust and feel safe that the government is going to do what the government does? So and with this, you know, the rule of law versus political power, you know, are we going to have a rule of law, or will leadership be able to come in and just make these cuts, make these changes? And we know that it's going to impact certain portions of a community more than others. So those are some of the things that really causes alarm when we see these kind of drastic actions being taken through an administration.
I agree, Jonathan.
Yeah, and then one other part I wanted to just highlight in the article as well was, and this was a quote from Dr. Robert Califf. He's the FDA commissioner, and he was the FDA commissioner during President Joe Biden's administration. And he went on to say, "The FDA, as we've known it, is finished. With most of the leaders with institutional knowledge and a deep understanding of product development and safety." Are no longer employed. And he said, I believe that in history, we're gonna look back and this will be a huge mistake. So, yeah. Right, as we know that there are different times in history to where there are pivotal moments that where things happen and take place to where we're like, that's a blemish on history. That's a spot. And that's what Dr. Califf is saying right here, that we're gonna look back and say, this is a major mistake.
Yeah, because I mean, it's just like changing right before your eyes, and it's just crazy how it's like this is like the health care of the world, not the health care, but the health industries of the world, and we're cutting jobs for, you know, in this, in research, and they have a $48 billion budget to do the things that they need to do, and Kennedy plans on cutting that. And so it's just very alarming, very alarming.
Yeah, I guess the question become, are we being efficient? Are we actually eviscerating efficiency or eviscerating? We're really almost like wiping out departments and agencies that the public has traditionally come to respect and rely on. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, Jonathan and producer Britt. Interesting. Yeah. We're living in interesting times right now.
Yes, we are. I agree with you. Okay, y'all, moving right along. So this came out, this was on Politico as well. Last article was on Politico, a good news source for good information and credible information is Politico. Though I get a lot of information there. So Trump tells Inner Circle that Elon Musk will leave soon. Attorney Jones, can you talk about this?
Yeah, you know... kind of like,
is he going for real? Okay. What's happening?
Yeah, can I really say this? This has always been a case that I've looked at as kind of like strange bed partners, if you may. You know what I mean? You know, when you got these kind of entities coming together, it's a matter of how long will this last? You know, it's kind of like a two-headed monster. It's a two-headed anything. If you got two heads on anything. Yes. What is it, a monster or a freak? You know what I mean? So, I mean, this show, we knew that this wasn't going to last very long when it got started, right? Because when you got this kind of ego or this kind of political power, you're accustomed to handling things and going through a committee, asking for approval and getting somebody to say, yes, you can do this. That ain't going to be happening with the personality like we're dealing with here. Those are my opening thoughts on this.
Yes. Jonathan, what you got?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just thinking like Elon Musk, we know him as a businessman and we know him as a tech giant, right? But getting in this space, like, I think this is uncharted territories for him. And also, it's just scary, right? Like how we see the cartoons where we see that one person that is an extreme personality, but they have the power and the opportunity to push the red button. We don't want him to have that type of control here.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this article is giving some people some relief, and they're saying, oh, okay, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we already have Trump in the White House, and then being partnered up with Musk, it's like, okay, we can only take so much.
Yeah, and I'll tell you when things begin to hit the boiling point. Recently, what was it, last week in Wisconsin, where this conservative Supreme Court judge was running and Musk got involved in that election? This was just about this week or last week.
Wow, can you tell us a little bit about that? Wow.
The judge lost. And as a result of that conservative judge losing, Trump is like, wait a minute, this is costing me. I can't have this guy. This is a loose cannon.
Yes, I did see that. Yes, I did. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Yep. Yeah. I did see that. Yep. Wow. Mm. Yeah.
So you got to count the cost.
You got to count the cost. That's for sure. I know that in the article, you know, although that, you know, Trump is pushing him out and he must leave, you know, Trump said, you know, he still holds Elon Musk to a high regard. But, you know, all that embarrassment and he got his son in the Oval Office and, you know, being disrespectful. He was like, you know, maybe it's time for you to get out of here because, you know, you got the money, but you just don't have the brains right now. And neither does President Trump, technically. So, yeah.
and for this, Britt, also President Trump is looking at the midterm elections. You see, one of the things, but you got to, politics, things go real fast, right? And so every day you're evaluating and assessing your liability and where you are. And so he's looking at the midterm election. And if this happened in Wisconsin, could this begin to happen in more districts and more states across the country? So the president is looking at, how can I maintain my majority and get the things done that I want to get done in this administration? So, I think Mr. Musk's term mission accomplished, pretty much. Mission accomplished. Plus, he's already cut the budget by what? $1 trillion?
Yeah.
$1 trillion? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money, guys.
Yeah, that's unreal amount of money right there. Anything else, Jonathan?
No, I mean, the only thing I also want to just say is, like, you know, when you think about what people have taught us, how they say, you know, you don't want to argue in public, right? You don't want to argue in public. So I also saw in the article that, you know, Trump is just showing admiration. And what it says he showed admiration for Musk, who spent millions to help elect him, right? So he's honoring him there. But he often touts the waste and the fraud and the abuse. The abuse Doge claims have identified hailing Musk's work as a revolutionary. So he's putting him in the highest light, just showing the support as he's getting to slide him out of there, or as his time is coming to an end for Musk.
Diplomacy. Letting the other person have your way.
I agree. That's funny. Did you have something else?
Okay. No. I was good.
All right. So our last story here, I talked about this a little bit, but it's always nice to get some legal on this. So Attorney Jones, what does this mean?
What does it mean? You know, once you see something, you can't unsee it. Mm-hmm. Once you say something and someone hears you, you can't unhear it. Our country will forever have to deal with the darkness of slavery, even though we don't like to talk about it, right? But so if we can come up with a way to remove this so that we don't have to live with it in our present, then we'll try to do that. I just wish that this idea of removing race and ethnicity and sex and so forth, I wish that we did have an equal America. I wished all Americans were created equal so that we didn't have to think about race, equity, sex, and so forth. But unfortunately, that is not the case. And these book bans and this whole movement to erase the history of those who've contributed it to the struggle to bring us to where we are today is just a way to kind of ease the the penalty or the pain of having to remember our past. And that is what America is uncomfortable with. And that's why white silence is white violence. When whites want to be silent about what has happened, it's a violence to themselves and to this country to try to ignore how we came to be who we are today. That's my take on DEI and book bans.
Okay. Looking at a library with over just under 600,000 books in print, 322 databases, and over 5,000 print journals and magazines. And just thinking about the idea that they're looking to remove 400 books, it got narrowed down to 900. They say, you know what, we're going to do 400. This, just like we were talking about yesterday, Producer Britt, this is an area to where people are taking a chance and taking time to try to remove history. And even the backlash that they faced, then after they're removing some images from the website, right? With Jackie Robinson and some other historical and iconic figures, this is a time to where if we aren't continuing to share those stories, right? Mm-hmm. So those of us who have contributed to history, if we're not taking time to share those stories and sharing the information that we know and that we have, we're looking at a demise happening before our own eyes. So this is pivotal, and this is something that we should not take lightly at all.
I agree.
I think this is the time to write more books. I think this is the time for people to publish their stories. I mean, if it's not in writing, it didn't happen. And we can't put our history in the hands of someone else and expect it not to be told. I think not only is it time to write our stories, it's time to do exactly what you guys are doing right here on this podcast, on this live right here. We've got to produce more. We got to become producers as opposed to just consumers. And we got to be proactive instead of passive when it comes down to telling our story and writing our history. Never leave the pen in the hand of someone else when your story is being written.
That's strong, Attorney Jones. That's strong. And I think now is exactly, you're right, because now it's all about, you know, getting the information out there to our community so we know what's going on around us and we can teach ourselves the information that we need to know. And those are great points.
Oh, now, y'all hit the nail on the head. So just in terms of, you know, us continuing to share that story, continuing to produce more, and also ownership, right? Because if the Naval Academy is in a position to remove these books from, you know, where they are, what else do we own, and what other places can we house these stories? These journals, these magazines, these articles, right? Are there other blogs out there, other locations like that? So this is something that we need to, take action on, right? And if you have the experience, if you have the background in academia, or even if you have the background to be able to write, and, you know, you're somebody who's talented in terms of vocational, like talented sharing vocationally, then we need to do that.
Yeah, we got to tell our stories in our homes. We got to tell our stories in our churches. We got to tell our stories in our communities. We got to tell our stories in our schools. We got to tell our stories everywhere we go. Our duty is to tell our story. The Bible was handed down to us through oral tradition. And the oral tradition was to speak and tell the story. So we got to hold on to that and not ever become dependent upon the government or some other agency to promote and publish our story and our truth. We got to speak our truth and pass it on to generations to generations.
All right. Good morning, everybody. This is Speak Your Success in the Morning. We're going to talk more about telling our truth. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Attorney Jones and Producer Britt right after this commercial break. Looking for an exciting workout that's not only fun but makes you feel alive? It's time to step up your fitness. Extreme Hip Hop with Treece, that's your answer. This isn't your typical workout. Extreme Hip Hop with Treece is an energizing step workout that combines simple moves with fresh beats, both old and new, creating an atmosphere that makes fitness exciting. With a focus on all elements of fitness, cardio, muscular conditioning, flexibility, and balance, you're guaranteed to burn calories and get addicted to the energy. Extreme becomes your safe space, which is a welcome environment where everyone is accepted. It's where you can let go of those worries of the world and focus on getting healthy. Ready to get energized? Join Extreme Hip Hop with Treece today. Welcome back to Speak Your Success in the Morning. I'm Jonathan Jones, and we're still on, y'all. We're still on. We have attorney Fred Jones in the building with us. And always remember, phone Fred first. Producer Britt, we're back. We're diving in this morning.
Good morning. It's Thursday. Good morning to everybody in the chat from Las Vegas, North Carolina. Good morning to my mama. The chat is live right now. Coach Ruby J, Attorney Jones, she said that's a great point about becoming producers right now in this time. So good point on that. And Grand Rising to all. Good morning. All right, back to you, Jonathan. Someone said Grand Rising, so I said Grand Rising. You know,
I get it.
I am not a Grand Riser. I do not say Grand Rising, but no, somebody said Grand Rising.
Not a Grand Riser. Oh, my God.
I do not say that.
That sounds like a clubhouse thing.
I know. Grand Rising.
That's so funny. Yeah. Grand Rising, Queen. Good morning, King.
Right.
So as we're talking about this, as we're talking about the DEI purge with the Naval Academy, and then just seeing some of the other local headlines and national headlines that have taken place, Attorney Jones and Dad, right? have you heard about the Target Fast that Dr. Jamal Bryant has been the face of as of late? Have you heard
of it? You'll have to be on the rock not to have heard of it, right?
You're right. And so we covered the Target Fast before it actually started. Mm-hmm. And then we've been updating, we've been giving updates on the Target Fast. So when it comes to
when it comes to boycotting a business, I mean, obviously it's effective because it's working. Target is down, I think last time that we reported, Jonathan, what was it? Was it 12%? I'd have to look that up. But they were down a significant number, and they're still down. And they're feeling it on social media. They cut their comments off on their social media because the foot traffic is low. Now they're trying to team up with big brands to bring everything back together. But I mean, it's just not working because people are standing 10 toes down and saying, Target, y'all should have never pulled out of this DEI initiative and this policy. And it's affecting them.
That's one way to make your voice heard. You know, people vote with their feet, their finances, That's how people vote. And if we don't go into these stores and we don't spend our money, then this is demonstrating the power of targeting a Target. How about that?
Target's full year net sales have decreased by 0.8% to $106.6 billion. If we want to talk numbers, right? And knowing and understanding that Black people in America spend it's either 12 to $15 million a day.
A lot of money.
With Target. For us to spend that amount of money at
You're saying
any
just
entity,
at Target?
That's at Target.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a Target. And for anybody to spend that amount of money with any business, with any entity, then we should you should honor us, one, by doing what you said you were gonna do, but at the same time, like where is the accountability, right? I don't wanna say you owe us something, but as patrons of the business and keeping you afloat, come on now.
I mean, give us something. Yeah, and the number's right there. So black people spend over $12 million a day at Target. And that was quoted by Reverend Bryant. Yes.
Wow. $12 million a day. That's $1 million per 30 minutes or $1 million every hour or $1 million every 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So I see why, you know, we're pulling the products out of there and buying directly from the source of the, you know, of the business, which, you know, gives them more money. But yeah. I know that we talked about it, Jonathan, that, you know, they lose their foot traffic because, you know, they're still being affected about with the fast, you know, with the Target fast.
This is true.
Yeah, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And if you're in pain and if you don't scream, then the person who's inflicting the pain will continue. This is a good scream here. And I think that the pressure should be kept on a company like this in order for others to take note.
True. And I mean, that is the plan, right? So this is the first phase of the plan. And the reason, and for those who might not know the story or might not be familiar with the Target fast, the initial plan is starting with Target, right? And then going into June when they have a shareholders meeting, then approaching them at that time as well to say, hey, we're gonna roll out the next phase of the plan, which then would include, you know, then going to or towards other corporations and other businesses and then trickling down. The reason why Target is the starting point is because Target initially, due to the dying of George Floyd when he was murdered, due to what happened there, then Target made a commitment to honor DEI by rolling out, spending a certain amount of money, depositing a certain amount of money with our banks, and then also doing some training as well, and some other areas that Target promised that they would do, but then they began to roll that back as Trump and as their administration was Xing out DEI efforts. So that's why Target was the starting place, and now, you know, now they're as you see, they're the ones who are, you know, really suffering from their decision, but also they're the ones who's suffering from the Target fast here.
Yeah, so they, you know, a lot of times people in the industry, they want to fugaboo you, right? They want to tell you they're going to do something and they don't come through. And so if you're going to put this out here, don't play me cheap. I got an expression for that, John, but I'm not sure if it'll be appropriate to say it on the show, so I'll hold that one.
Okay.
PG, right?
PG Attorney Jones, PG.
Yeah, we like keep it clean. Yeah. Like keep it clean. Family morning show.
You know, I'll kind of get on the edge. Hello to Coach Ruby J. There's Ruby J, Carla Turner. Okay, I'll get out of the comments, Producer Britt.
No, you're good. Carla Turner, that's my mama. So good morning, mama. Yeah, good morning.
Oh, that's mama?
Yeah, that's mama.
Hello, mama.
Yeah, that's mama. Hi, that's mama. Mama Turner, like major support, right?
I know. Mama, she's great. She supported me through everything my whole life. So she's amazing. That's my superwoman
That's real.
But this was also a comment I wanted to make, that this is a great opportunity for economic empowerment, especially through our community, right? Because people are going to be affected regardless. If that's entrepreneurs, business owners that are partnered with Target and have their products on the shelves and different things like that, then they might be affected in one way, right? But at large, one way that we can really come together and one way that real economic empowerment can truly take place is that the funds that we do have, you know, we might have a salon up the street and we know that person sells hair care products on shelves, then we can start buying it from them, right? Because when we start to talk about, people having products and clothes and books and other accessories that they're now selling, and we know these people and we see them day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, now is the time for us to step up. And now is the time to really show that support for that business. And like you were saying also, Attorney Jones, you were saying now is the time that if we're going to put our dollars to where we believe in, like, let's really show people we can put our dollars where we support them in this time. So this is a great time for economic empowerment.
Yeah, you got to go where you celebrate it and not where you tolerate it.
So that's where Jonathan gets that from. That's where Jonathan gets that thing from.
And you'll always be what, Dad? Appreciated.
Appreciated, be, elevated, and compensated.
Okay, I like that.
Compensation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Attorney Jones, are there any other news stories that, you know, you just been looking over that we should know about? Anything that we should keep our head on a swivel? Any other information that we need to know right now?
That was a vote that went on down in Louisiana. The people in Louisiana really showed up last week in a redistricting vote that was going to disenfranchise a large number of minorities. But the people of Louisiana stood up and voted that down. So what we're seeing now is this whole movement and everything that's taking place from this current administration, there's going to be a real clapback. And I think that those Americans who didn't vote or didn't take action the last time, who are feeling the pain of what's going on in the present time, they're going to show up and they're going to produce and make their voice heard in a new way. And I think we're beginning to see that over the country now.
I believe that too, because the 92% of the Black women that, you know, we stood strong on business, and then that other percentage of race that did not stand on business, and everything that's happening with the Trump administration is now affecting them, thinking that it was not going to affect them. And I hope that they're getting out there, like you're saying, Attorney Jones, and getting out there and voting and actually using their voice this time instead of, you know, not using their brain at all, in my opinion.
Exactly.
If there was ever a time to be educated on policies, and if there was ever a time to look before you sign something, right? Now is that time. We can't just agree with stuff and check off, say, oh, producer Britt said this, so I'm good with it. Oh, Attorney Jones said this, so I'm good with it. Mm-hmm. You have to trust, but you also have to verify. And now is that time with your local policies, getting involved at your state level. And, you know, these town hall and these town meetings, if you're near and if you can get involved, if you can learn more, now is the time to step up, and now is time to take a little more ownership. Because if not, then we're going to watch the world just demise right before our eyes.
So, Jonathan, you kind of touched on this a little bit, the 50 Cent, when 50 Cent was in Louisiana.
I believe that is actually what y'all were just talking about. I believe it is that same piece of legislation. So when I was watching Roland Martin and they were talking about this, and the gentleman who was a representative of Louisiana, I know he was a local representative, he was saying that, hey, 50 Cent, we love what you're doing on the music side. We love what you're doing on the business side, on the production side.
Don't come into politics.
But if you're not completely aware of the locals and how they're being affected, then just stay put, right? Just respectfully stay in your lane. And that's what I'm also saying here, right? We need to be aware of how these policies are going to affect people and what our part is in it. And if we need to take a step back, then take a step back. But you don't want to just make a decision and not be aware of how it's going to affect everybody else involved.
I agree. That's good, Jonathan.
Yeah. And I think, guys, I think that we're in a time of AI, right? And that was a major part of the Trump administration that sparked the cuts and all that we're seeing in the various departments. Mm-hmm. So in a way, the playing field is really being leveled. And we're going to have to update and upgrade our thinking and our strategies from a business perspective and from a personal perspective and even educational perspective. And either we're going to use AI or AI is going to use us.
And right to that point, Bill Gates came out a couple days ago and said that, you know, within 10 years that their AI is going to be our teachers. And they're not going to need humans. They're going to need us anymore. So, yeah. What do you think about that, Jonathan?
So I was actually watching Funky Friday with Cam Newton, and he had on John Hope Bryant, and John Hope Bryant is, you know, one of the largest owners of single family real estate in the country. African-American man. He said within the next 4 years, jobs are going to be wiped out due to AI. And he said, we have to take time to begin to educate ourselves on AI. And it's one of those things to where some people might be fearful of it, but at the same time, this is something that can add value to you as an entrepreneur. Producer Britt, you know this. This is something that can add value to you as a producer in any area or any particular field that you're involved in. AI will help you enhance what you're doing, what you're putting out,
and
what
that's
you're
producing. The key word, enhance, not enhance. Take over. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And people have to understand that. And the Bible tells us that people perish for a lack of their knowledge. So this is the time and this is the space and this is the place to where we have to educate ourselves. There is a large information gap and there's a large wealth gap. We can't directly close the wealth gap overnight. But the educational gap, if we take 15 minutes a night, say, let me look up a little bit of AI. Let me look up a little bit more about this. Let me find out more information here or there. We can begin to close that information gap. And that's what it's time to do now, especially with AI.
I agree.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, attorney. Yeah. Oh, go.
I would just encourage people not to fear AI. Don't fear it. I would encourage people to understand how to protect what they put through the system, but don't fear it. Lean in.
So speaking of protecting what you put in the system, how do we do that?
Ooh, great question. Copyright.gov. Copyright.gov. $45, less than $75, you can protect and own exclusivity, your words and your copyright. And that's the legal step. There it is right there. That's the legal step that creators and writers and producers such as this show here, you guys, have to take if you want to protect content exclusively. Copyright.gov. Go there, copyright your material, then put it in AI, and then AI can enhance it. But as of current law, AI cannot own a copyright. Copyright can only be owned by original works produced by humans.
Got it. That's important. Wow. That's important.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah. Dad, can you just give us the difference between copyright and trademark? Because I know so often people are like, I'm gonna trademark this. I'm gonna trademark that.
Yeah.
Can you just educate our audience on what's the difference?
Copyright is you copyright your ideas. Mm-hmm. You trademark your brand. Copyright is for writings. It's for songs, music. Copyright is for words, literature. Mm-hmm. That's copyright. You own those things exclusively. Trademark is your brand, your business, your entrepreneurial endeavors. Trademark is your mark in trade. Copyright is everything that you write.
Okay.
That simplifies it.
That does simplify.
Yeah.
That's so simple to understand. And that's funny because we did learn about that in college for communication, but that's a good refresher for sure. Yeah.
And copyright, you know, I would encourage anybody to copyright first, trademark second.
Oh, okay.
Oftentimes we kind of think that we should get our trademark first, but copyright is first. And this gets a little technical, but copyright takes place the moment you put your idea or your thought in a fixed and tangible form.
Yes.
You put it on writing. And we, mm-hmm. That's when that takes place. I see that producer Britt, you kind of lit up on that point.
Yes, because it's just like no one can, you know, as long as you trademark it, you know, your idea, as long as it's written down, then, you know, you can move forward with it. So yeah. I like that. Yes, I like that.
Okay. Yeah. So speaking of moving forward, so Attorney Fred, so like how can people find you? How can people connect with you? Like just please take a second just to share a little bit more about, you know, how people can get in touch and how they can phone Fred first.
Well, you know, phone Fred first, catch that number, 318-617-7190. My firm is a nationwide firm. We've moved into this space and our goal is to just help people alleviate pain. If you're struggling and you got an issue, pain, and you see it there. But phone Fred first, just 318-617-7190. If you have a legal issue anywhere in America, we're here to serve and support you and to help you work through that and to come up with a real solution. One of the things I'm realizing, John, people oftentimes, put it like this, we all need lawyers. And for a long time, okay. I tried to get away from the practice of law. I've been a lawyer since 1997, okay? And I've kind of avoided it. But I was recently in a situation just yesterday, day before yesterday, that could have gone real bad. Mm-hmm. But when all of the officers and everybody showed up, I said, I'm Attorney Fred Jones. I said, I want you safe and I want the individual safe. Mm-hmm. And man, I've never seen better police work.
Wow. Oh,
wow. Never.
That's powerful.
Never.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
You throw out that
that's
lawyer,
powerful.
You know, police, they button up for sure. That's funny. Especially if you're a good one. Yeah, they don't like that. They do not like that. Yeah.
You know, so, but putting people first, I know it's something that, you know, that you always have done. And I know that's even why you got into the practice of law, right? Because how you were impacted, and it was a family matter, right? You were impacted, you were frustrated, and you were like, no, I won't stand for this. So I need to do something about it. So then you decided to go into law school.
Yeah, I was 8 years old. I saw my mom and dad get taken by a lawyer, and it hurt me so bad, you know? And I'm like, you know what? This is not right. Who is that little rascal right there? Look out.
David Jones.
Hello, sir. But I saw my family get taken advantage of, and I said, I'll go to law school. I'll become a lawyer. And I did, and God has blessed me there. And so now I just love helping people, John, and I don't like to see people hurt. So if you're in pain in any way, phone Fred first, 318-617-7190, and I'll answer the phone.
All right.
Jonathan. Love to hear it. Glad to know it. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back. Producer Britt, what you? Huh?
No, go ahead, take the break.
Oh, I thought you had something to say. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be back with more Speaker Success in the Morning.